Test 7. Section A. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
11. How is the food at the new French restaurant?
I haven't eaten there yet. I went all the way down there last night only to find it's not open on Tuesdays. So I tried the Italian place next door. It was very good.
Question. What did the man say about the French restaurant? Would you like to read another one of my poems?
If I see another one of your poems tonight, I'll scream.
Question. When does he want to see more of her poetry? I'd rather he told you he went to see a doctor. What is his hurry?
Well, instead of recommending a treatment of special medicine for his condition, all he prescribed was rest anyway. I'm relieved to hear that no operation is necessary.
Question. What does the doctor recommend? Well, it seems that Frank Pierre has become quite a famous painter.
Has he? You know, I'm a professional artist myself, and I question how much talent Pierre really has.
Question. What conclusion can be drawn from the man's comments?
How far is the shopping center from here? It's not indicated on the map.
Why don't you ask someone where it is?
Question. What does the woman mean? My old car is worn out, and I should buy a new one. But I spent too much on my trip last summer.
It pays to plan ahead. New cars are expensive.
Question. Will the man buy a new car?
Do you think that the possibility of cold weather and snow will affect the results of the game?
Well, the players are accustomed to playing in bad weather, so it shouldn't make any difference to them.
Question. How do the man's feelings compare with those of the woman?
I am worried about sending my son to college. Most college students are so wild nowadays.
Only a few. Most students are too busy studying to get into trouble.
Question. How does the woman react to the man's remarks? Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1. This semester will be over soon. How do we plan our activities in the summer vacation, Jenny?
What about traveling to the west of America, Tom?
That's a good idea. What places of interest are we going to visit?
We may go to San Francisco to visit the Golden Gate Bridge, and then to Los Angeles to visit Disneyland and Hollywood.
If we travel by driving, we must rent a car. That will be expensive. What is more, if the two of us alone drive continuously for many days, it will make us exhausted. How can we go sightseeing?
For convenience, we had better travel by train.
I agree with you. What preparations should we make for the trip?
We should first get the tickets, otherwise we'll be late for school registration.
Well, there's an excellent public transportation system there, you know. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Public transport? You mean buses and subway?
Of course.
Oh, come on. We're going to be on holiday. We don't need to waste time on buses and subway. We can travel by taxi.
Taxi? Oh, no. I'd rather travel by bus or subway. As you said, we'll only be on holiday, so we won't be in a hurry. Besides, if we use the public transport, we'll be able to meet local people, get a better ideal of their daily life, and so on. That's what travel really means, you know. Besides, taxis are so expensive.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 19. Where are they going to travel? How would they travel? 21. Which is the reason the woman would not take bus or subway? 2. Good morning, sir. Can I help you?
Good morning. I have a reservation for a single room with a bath here.
May I have your name, sir, please?
Bradley. John Bradley.
Just a moment, sir, while I look through our list. Yes, we do have a reservation for you, Mr. Bradley. Would you please fill out this form while I prepare your key card for you?
Yes. Can I borrow your pen for a minute, please?
Sure. Here you are.
What should I fill in under room number?
You can just skip that. I'll put the room number for you later on.
After he has completed the form. Here you are. I think I filled in everything correctly.
Let me see. Name, address, nationality, forwarding address, passport number, signature, and date of departure. Oh, here, sir. You forgot to put the date of your departure. Let me fill it in for you. You are leaving on...
October 24th.
Now everything's in order. And here's your key, Mr. Bradley. Your room number is 1420. It is on the 14th floor, and the daily rate is $90. Here is your key card with all the information on your booking, the hotel services, and the hotel rules and regulations on it. Please make sure that you have it with you at all times.
Okay. I'll take good care of it.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 22. What kind of hotel room has the man booked? 23. What should he fill under room number? 24. Which information is not in the form the man has filled? 25. Which statement is not true according to the conversation?
1. A mild earthquake shook the northwestern coast of the United States Thursday, the Earthquake Observatory in San Francisco reported today. There are no immediate reports of injuries or damages. The observatory said the earthquake was felt over a range of about 10 miles along the United States coastline and probably originated about 100 miles out in the Pacific Ocean east of the island of Nimi. The observatory also reported that more earthquakes can be expected to occur in the San Francisco area in the next several months, although the intensity of the quakes cannot be predicted.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. 26. Where did the earthquake originate, according to the bulletin? 27. Which of the following is true of the earthquake described in the bulletin? According to the bulletin, what can be expected with regard to future earthquakes in the San Francisco area? 2. During the summer, you should be even more careful than usual of the foods you prepare. Foods spoil faster in hot weather than in cold weather. When you are shopping, purchase frozen and refrigerated foods last. Don't make long stops on the way home because frozen foods can become soft or warm. Using insulated bags helps keep food cold until you can get home. Milk and milk products should be refrigerated immediately. When camping or picnicking, or at any time when refrigeration isn't available, use special dry foods. Don't leave foods in a hot car or beach bag. Picnic favorites like meat, chicken, and egg salad should be kept in a cooler. Above all, if a food doesn't seem to be normal in order or appearance, discard it immediately. Don't taste it.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. 29. What is the main topic of the talk? 30. Which of the following foods would be least likely to spoil in warm weather? 31. According to the talk, what should you do with food that doesn't seem to be normal? 3. In the 19th century, it was common to hear people in Europe and America say that the resources of the sea were unlimited. For example, a noted biologist writing in the mid-1800s commented that all of the great sea fisheries are inexhaustible. Today, there's evidence that the resources of the sea are as seriously threatened as those of the land and the air, and concern of conservationists now includes herring and cod, as well as the African elephant, the Indian tiger, and the American eagle. Further, the threat to fish is more alarming in some ways than the threat to birds and land animals because fish is a much-needed food source. Many people throughout the world depend on fish as an important part of their diets, and a decline in the fish supply could have extensive effects on hunger and population. Fishermen in the North Atlantic alone annually harvest 20 billion pounds of fish to satisfy food demands. But it is important to recognize that these practices cannot continue without depleting fish resources within the next few years. Sea resources are rapidly declining in many parts of the world, and the problem cannot be ignored. It is only with care and planning in this generation that the food supplies of the sea can continue for future generations.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. 32. According to the speaker, what was the attitude in the 19th century towards the resources of the sea? 33. What does the speaker emphasize as a reason for maintaining sea resources? 34. How widely spread would a decline in the fish supply be? 35. The author mentions the African elephant, the Indian tiger, and the American eagle as an example of which of the following? Section C. Feather cloaks are the most spectacular of all objects of the native Hawaiian manufacture. In the highly stratified society of the islands before their discovery by Captains James Cook in 1788, the cloaks were never very numerous, but powerful chiefs often acquired several through inheritance or as battle prizes. Although the feathers were gathered by the common people to defray part of their taxes, and women were permitted to clean and sort them, only men of high rank, surrounded by sacred taboos, were allowed to make the cloaks. The manufacturing process involved tying small branches of red, yellow, green, or black feathers with a lona fiber. Large cloaks, like the royal robe worn by Kamehameha, the first king of all the islands, required some 500,000 feathers. Today, these cloaks are ethnological treasures, but to the early ship captain they were little more than seemingly plentiful curiosities that the Hawaiians had keenly valued, but gave away or traded for such trifles as iron knives. In turn, the Europeans traded these curiosities. This practice began with Cook's officers, who traded the cloak, now in Leningrad, in exchange for provisions. In 1825, Lord Byron, commander of the British ship Blonde, predicted that the splendid war cloak would soon be more easily found in Europe than in Hawaii. Brigham found only 5 in Hawaii when he made his featherwork survey of 1899. Today, 20 of the 50 known cloaks are still in the British Isles. Feather cloaks are the most spectacular of all objects of the native Hawaiian manufacture. In the highly stratified society of the islands before their discovery by Captains James Cook in 1788, the cloaks were never very numerous, but powerful chiefs often acquired several through inheritance or as battle prizes. Although the feathers were gathered by the common people to defray part of their taxes, and women were permitted to clean and sort them, only men of high rank, surrounded by sacred taboos, were allowed to make the cloaks. The manufacturing process involved tying small branches of red, yellow, green, or black feathers with a lona fiber. Large cloaks, like the royal robe worn by Kamehameha, the first king of all the islands, required some 500,000 feathers. Today, these cloaks are ethnological treasures, but to the early ship captain they were little more than seemingly plentiful curiosities. That the Hawaiians had keenly valued, but gave away or traded for such trifles as iron knives. In turn, the Europeans traded these curiosities. This practice began with Cook's officers, who traded the cloak, now in Leningrad, in exchange for provisions. In 1825, Lord Byron, commander of the British ship Blonde, predicted that the splendid war cloak would soon be more easily found in Europe than in Hawaii. Brigham found only 5 in Hawaii when he made his featherwork survey of 1899. Today, 20 of the 50 known cloaks are still in the British Isles. Feather cloaks are the most spectacular of all objects of the native Hawaiian manufacture. In the highly stratified society of the islands before their discovery by Captains James Cook in 1788, the cloaks were never very numerous. But powerful chiefs often acquired several through inheritance or as battle prizes. Although the feathers were gathered by the common people to defray part of their taxes, and women were permitted to clean and sort them, only men of high rank, surrounded by sacred taboos, were allowed to make the cloaks. The manufacturing process involved tying small branches of red, yellow, green, or black feathers with a lona fiber. Large cloaks, like the royal robe worn by Kamehameha, the first king of all the islands, required some 500,000 feathers. Today, these cloaks are ethnological treasures, but to the early ship captain they were little more than seemingly plentiful curiosities that the Hawaiians had keenly valued, but gave away or traded for such trifles as iron knives. In turn, the Europeans traded these curiosities. This practice began with Cook's officers, who traded the cloak, now in Leningrad, in exchange for provisions. In 1825, Lord Byron, commander of the British ship Blonde, predicted that the splendid war cloak would soon be more easily found in Europe than in Hawaii. Brigham found only 5 in Hawaii when he made his featherwork survey of 1899. Today, 20 of the 50 known cloaks are still in the British Isles.